If you would take your Bibles, please turn to Mark 13. We'll be finishing up the Olivet Discourse today, Mark 13. We're going to focus on verses 32 to 37 of Mark 13. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that we can be in your presence today. And we thank you, Lord, for the fact that we can trust you with everything that's going on in our lives at this time. We think of those, Lord, today who are going through various struggles and trials because of where they find themselves. We in particular want to lift some folks up today, Lord. We lift Orlando and Tiffany up to you, Lord, over the loss of these two children. We pray, God, for healing for Tiffany and Orlando, that they might know your strength and your help in this difficult time. We also, Lord, remember those that are in Texas at this time going through this horrible hurricane. There are folks that have lost everything in life, everything material, and some of them have lost family members. And Lord, there are many that are in dire places right now. And we thank you, Lord, that you know where each one of them is. And we would just pray, God, that during these days that people would cry out to you. And Lord, if they don't know you, that they might come to know you. And Lord, if they do, my prayer is that their faith would be strengthened in the midst of this storm. I would be bold enough, Lord, to ask, Lord Jesus, as I thought of this storm, I thought of you out on the Sea of Galilee with your disciples. They were about to drown. Their ship was about to go under. And in an instant you spoke, and the storm stopped. And Lord, we know that you are a powerful God. You're over all creation. We know, Lord, that the meteorologists have said that this storm is going to go on for days to come. But Lord, we would be bold enough to ask that you would speak the word and that it would stop. And that, Lord, you would provide rest to those who are in the midst of this struggle right now. We thank you, Lord, that we can come to your word. And we thank you, Lord, that you have something to say to each one of us today. And we ask, Lord, that as we take your word, you would speak and that you would be honored and glorified as you do so. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to ask you a question this morning as we begin. How aware are you of your surroundings? As you go through your day, Are you consumed with your schedule, with its appointments and its projects, to the point where you really aren't cognizant of what's happening around you? I think sometimes we can go through our days and it's what we've got our eyes focused on. Ruth and I have spent a number of years living and ministering in cities and around cities. And one of the first lessons that a person must learn when they move into the city, if they want to survive, is street smarts. And one of the major components of being street smart is to be always aware of your surroundings, because if you're not, sooner or later, someone is going to take advantage of you. I remember when I was working as a district church growth director, I attended a conference in New York City with other church growth directors. And I had lived in the city and had lived around big cities, and so fortunately I had some street smarts, but some of the guys did not. And during our, 5 days in New York City, some of them were taken advantage of. I remember two of them. One was from Illinois. He was fleeced, so to speak, in our hotel lobby, talking to a clerk at the desk. Somebody came up, took his wallet. Another one I was with, getting on a subway train, got his wallet, his money taken out as he got on the train. Having street smarts, knowing where you're at, knowing your surroundings. Out-of-towners and tourists always stick out in big cities and are easy prey for those who make their living by taking advantage of them. Well, in our text for today, Jesus urges his followers to develop, so to speak, some spiritual street smarts, to be aware of what is happening around us and how it applies to his return. He said the following, he gave this after his description of what was going to take place just prior about his return. He gave these words following that. He said, however, no one knows the day or the hour when these things will happen. Not even the angels in heaven or the Son himself. Only the Father knows. And since you don't know when that time will come, be on guard. Stay alert. The coming of the Son of Man can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. When he left home, he gave each of his servants instructions about the work they were to do. And he told the gatekeeper to watch for his return. You too must keep watch, for you don't know when the master of the household will return. In the evening, at midnight, before dawn, or at daybreak. Don't let him find you sleeping when he arrives without warning. I say to you what I say to everyone. Watch for him. Probably because Jesus knew the question about when he would return would be asked most often, he saved it until the very end. His answer was pretty blunt and to the point. He said, no one knows. In fact, I don't even know. He then pointed out that the mark of a disciple was not having inside information, but being aware of the times we are living in and serving Christ faithfully in those times. Spiritual awareness and vigilance in what Christ has told us to do, not sleeping, becomes the essential theme of the entire Olivet Discourse. Jesus said, no one knows the day or hour when these things will happen. Not even the angels in heaven or the Son himself. Only the Father knows. While he had given signs to be aware of and observe regarding the coming of the end, Jesus clearly explained to his disciples that the exact day or hour was not known by angels or by himself. When Jesus said not even he knew the time of the end, he was affirming his humanity. As spoken of in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8, where it says, though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave, and he was born as a man. And when he appeared in the form of a man, he humbled himself in obedience to God, and he died a criminal's death on the cross. Of course, God the Father knows the time, and Jesus and the Father are one. Jesus spoke of this in John 17. But when Jesus became a man, he voluntarily gave up the unlimited use of his divine attributes. On earth, Jesus laid aside his divine prerogatives, and he submitted to his Father's will. So that means that only the Father in heaven knows the exact time of his son's return. The emphasis of this verse is not on Jesus' lack of knowledge, but rather on the fact that no one knows. It is God the Father's secret to be revealed when he wills it to be revealed. Though many have tried, no one can predict by scripture or science the exact day of Jesus' return. Jesus was teaching that preparation, not calculation, is what is needed. In addition, he added, since you don't know when that time will come, be on guard. Stay alert. Be on guard. Stay alert. The words "you don't know" refer to every one of us. Jesus stresses to every one of us to be on guard and to stay alert, because only the Father knows the time of his return. We must be ready for it at any moment, even if it was going to happen this morning. Are you ready? That's a question that we need to ask ourselves this morning. Am I ready for Jesus' return? Do you believe that he's going to return? Do you? Are you ready for that return? Christ's return will be swift. It will be sudden. There will be no opportunity for a last minute repentance or bargaining with God. The choice that people have already made will determine their eternal destiny. If Jesus were to return in the next few minutes, your choice and my choice would determine whether one of his angels, as he said, would swoop down out of heaven and take us to his side, or if we will be running for cover because the terrible day of the Lord is about to be unleashed. As Jesus spoke of in the previous verses, God's wrath will be poured out on those who waited too long to make a decision. God's wrath will be poured out on those who chose not to place their faith in Jesus Christ. He further emphasizes the importance by telling a parable. He says the coming of the Son of Man can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He's coming. Wow. Thank you, Dorothy. When he left home, he gave each of his servants instructions about the work they were to do. And he told the gatekeeper to watch for his return. In this parable, watchfulness is emphasized. Jesus describes himself as a man going on a long journey. And those words for that long journey, that long trip, mean going to another country or going abroad. Not just a weekend trip to the beach, but an extended time away. What the disciples were not aware of at the time was that Jesus was speaking of returning to heaven, which would occur after his resurrection, at his ascension. The disciples are those who are left behind, and that includes you and me. We have been left behind until he returns. We're left behind to carry on the work that Jesus has given us to do. As we wait for his return, we are to do so by working, by being salt and light in this evil world, by going into the world and making disciples. We are to be at work. Notice Jesus said the gatekeeper was to keep watch for his return. Notice also that the other servants understood that they were in charge of themselves and they were responsible to do the work the master left for them to do, and would not want him to return suddenly and be found lazy in the performance of their duties. As Christ followers, each of us has enough assigned work to do that we shouldn't be neutralized or paralyzed by fear or doubt. We do not need to worry about how other servants compare to us. Instead, we should devote ourselves to doing what God has given each of us to do, to fulfilling the purpose that He has given each of us to go and make disciples. Think of it this way. Months of planning and preparation go into preparing for a wedding, don't they? You ever had to prepare for a wedding? You know that months of planning and preparation go into it. Months of planning and preparation also go into the birth of a baby, don't they? A lot of planning, a lot of preparation for this new life that is coming into the world. Lots of planning and preparation go into the purchase of a new home. You just don't go out, and I don't know of anybody in this congregation that can go out and just slap down a couple $100,000 or whatever for a new home. But months of planning, months of preparation go into it. Do you place the same importance on preparing for Christ's return? The most important event in anyone's life? His return? Do we place that amount of time and importance in the fact that Jesus is coming back? Its results will last for eternity. And so we dare not postpone our preparations because we do not know when He will return. The way to prepare is to study God's Word and to live by His instructions each and every day. The way to prepare is to remain morally alert and avoid spiritual lethargy that Paul talks about in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 6, where he says, "So be on your guard, not asleep like others. Stay alert and be clear-headed." We need to refuse to be distracted from the work or fulfilling the role that God has assigned to us. Jesus said in verse 35, "You too must keep watch, for you don't know when the master of the household will return, in the evening, at midnight, before dawn, or daybreak." Not just the gatekeeper, but all the servants need to keep watch. In the context of this parable, this meant that the servants were doing their various work conscientiously. Jesus meant that none of His followers were to be found spiritually lax or lazy, but instead conscientiously going about the work that has been given to them. His depiction of the evening, at midnight, before dawn, or at daybreak, reveals that all believers are to be ready and to be alert for Jesus' return, working for the kingdom, both because they know of the certainty of Christ's return and because they don't know when it will happen. You know, I think it's probably a pretty good thing that we as Christ's followers don't know exactly when He will return. If we knew the precise date, you know, say the precise date was, you know, September 25th at 10 o'clock in the morning. And we knew that. If we knew the precise date, we might be tempted to be lazy in our work until maybe the day before. Or we might, worse yet, plan to keep on sinning and then turn to God, you know, right at the end. Heaven is not our only goal. We have work to do here. God has made that the purpose of our lives, so that others might come to know Jesus as we know Him. And we must keep doing that work until we die, or until Christ comes and we go to be with Him. In verse 36, Jesus further emphasizes the importance of being ready and aware when He says, Don't let him find you sleeping when he arrives without warning. Jesus told his disciples to keep a constant watch for his return. Although nearly 2,000 years have passed since he spoke these words for the first time, their truth remains today. Christ is coming again. And when he returns, his followers must not be sleeping. We need to watch. We need to be spiritually fit. And this means we need to be working faithfully at the tasks that God has given us to do. Don't let your mind and spirit be dulled by careless living or the pursuit of foolish pleasure. Don't let life's anxieties overburden you. Instead, be ready to move at God's command. Jesus' followers should be less concerned about the exact date and more concerned about being prepared, living God's way consistently, so that no matter when Jesus comes in glory, he will claim us as his own. Now, and I'm not sure, maybe some of you are a little concerned about the sleep part there. Because, you know, sleep is important for all of us, right? I mean, that's a natural part of our lives. And he's not saying that we're not to physically rest. And I mean, that's part of the rhythm of a natural life that God has given us to do. But the sleep here refers to a spiritual sluggishness, the kind we experience when, and I'll share just some things with you from my point of view, when things like sports consume us on Sundays, okay? You know, football, NFL season's coming up. When frenzy in life, the busyness of our schedules pushes prayer aside. When the internet, when books and television replace the Bible, and we hardly notice. In this kind of sleep, we doze off wondering, who is God anyhow? How does he fit in to my life? That's the spiritual sluggishness that Paul is talking about and that Jesus is talking about. In all our varied interests and pursuits, we need to always keep watch. We need to always be aware of what's happening around us. We need to be like that smoke detector in our house that hopefully is fully charged so that when the time comes, it goes off. We need to be like a fire station that is always ready to respond at Jesus' return. Well, Jesus ends his discourse with these words. He says, I say to you what I say to everyone. Watch for him. Watch for me. Jesus' final words in the Olivet Discourse are meant for all believers, not just a select few. It's important on this Sunday, August the 27th, 2017, here in Goldsboro, North Carolina, to be aware of what is happening around us in the world. We've seen Jesus has given us signs. He has shown us what is going to take place. We need to be aware of those things. We need to be spiritually streetwise, so to speak, as to the times we are living in. As we watch and wait expectantly for Christ's return while we do his work. The entire 13th chapter of Mark tells us how to live as we wait. In verses 5 and 6, we see that we're not to be misled by confusing claims and speculative interpretations of what will happen. In verses 9 through 11, Jesus tells us that we're not to be afraid to tell people about him in spite of what might happen to us if we do so. In verse 13, we see that we must also stand firm in our faith and not be surprised if we are persecuted for our faith, if we suffer that kind of persecution. We must be morally alert. We must be obedient to the commands for living that are found in God's Word. This chapter was not given to promote discussions on the prophetic timetables, but it was given to stimulate right living for God in a world where He is largely ignored today. These words are given so that we might live for Him and live in expectancy. Jesus' purpose was to prepare us. And so I close with this question. Will you be ready? If He were to return this afternoon, will you be ready for His return? Will you be ready? That's important for us to each seriously ask ourselves and to know. And if we're not ready at this point, it stimulates us, hopefully, to get our lives in order and to be ready for when Jesus returns, because He is coming back. And we don't know the time or the day when that will happen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are so thankful for your goodness to us. We live in this world, Lord, which is very temporal. Because none of us knows, Lord, if we even have tomorrow. We live as though we're going to live here for all eternity. But Lord, we know that our time here on earth is short. Lord, help us to keep our eyes focused on Jesus. Help us, Lord, to live our life with the priority of fulfilling the purpose that you've given to each of us as your children to make disciples. Help us, Lord, not to be fearful, but to know the boldness of the Holy Spirit in us, so that we might speak the truth in love to those who are all around us who need Jesus. Help us, Lord, in these troubling days when people are asking, why is this hurricane happening in Texas? Why do people lose children? Why is there war? Why is there the threat of war? Why is there earthquakes and hurricanes and devastation? Lord, help us to be ready to share the reason behind these things. Help us to be prepared ourselves. And then, Lord, help us to help others to come to know Jesus and to be prepared for His return. For we ask these things in His name.